If you would, please turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. Again, it's 2 Kings chapter number 5. Out of all of Elisha's works and all of his miracles, one of his probably his most famous miracles was the healing of the leper Naaman. And that's tonight what we're going to look on is the leper Naaman and how he was healed by the power of God. Give me a second to get situated here. We'll begin in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse 15. If you would, read with me. Here we go. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he who was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus said the maid, that this is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10,000 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment and brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came of pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherewith consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I pray that you will be with us tonight, that you will use me as a shell, and you will use your spirit through me, that I will say exactly what you want me to say and be of peace of mind. And I pray that you will be with us tonight, that we will recognize the power that you have to heal if we will only but follow your will. In your name, I pray. Amen. As we come to Naaman tonight, I want you to recognize a couple things about Naaman. Naaman, number one, he is a great man. In verse number one, it says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Here we see Naaman had an important job. Naaman was a captain of the armies of Syria. So he was pretty high up in the army. He wasn't just like a regular soldier. He would have money, he'd have wealth, he'd have servants. And here we see Naaman, who is of really importance to Syria, to the king, has an issue that nobody can heal, and that's leprosy. But tonight, I want to address something more important than that leprosy that Naaman had. Naaman had a disease that was going to kill him faster than leprosy. Leprosy might cripple you and might eventually kill you, but there is a disease that we all have, and it's not COVID. It's sin. And then it says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. We come to the realization that we, like Naaman, if you were to put your name in Naaman's spot, if you were a captain to the host of Syria, in that spot of power, with all that money, with the wealth, and probably all the wisdom that comes with it, and you had searched all of your resources to finding a cure, but you could not, you'd be willing to listen to pretty much anybody to just find the fix for your solution. And there was only one way for Naaman to find a solution, and there's only one way for us to find a solution for our sin. We continue on, and we see Naaman here in this third verse here. It says that there was a maid brought captives out of Israel. The Syrian army has gone in while Naaman's away, and they have captured a captive, a little maid, a little girl from Israel. And they bring her to Naaman's house. And as she's working, she notices Naaman. And there's something wrong with Naaman. She's been noticing that there's not many people around him. They're just kind of, you know, caring for him, but they're staying away. Kind of like COVID. You could say this little girl is trained well for COVID, I guess. But this little girl recognized that the problem Naaman had was leprosy. But she had heard of somebody in Israel, a prophet of God called Elisha. And she had heard that Elisha had healed a leper before. And you know what? She was brave enough to say to Naaman's wife, "You know what? There is a man in Israel. If you go to Samaria, you'll find him there. And you know what? He can probably heal you of your leprosy." And the servants come and hear, and they go to their master, Naaman, and they tell Naaman all of what they've just heard. And Naaman's like, "Whoa, nope, no more options, I'm done." No. Naaman is probably leaping for joy. Can you imagine? You've heard all of the solutions, you have all the money, and this little girl finds just the slightest way that you might be able to be healed. And so Naaman sends a letter to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria, he agrees. He says, "This is probably our best bet. We've tried all the money, we've tried all these resources, all of our doctors, no one can heal you. But maybe this prophet of God from Israel can." And the king of Syria sends a letter over to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel receives the letter, but to his shock, it wasn't a thank you letter or an I love you letter. It was a please help letter. The king receives the letter, and you can read in verse number 6. "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.'" Can you imagine reading that? The king of an enemy army is going to send one of their top commanding officers to your city, and you're going to heal him of leprosy nonetheless. And the king of Israel, you can see his response in verse number 7. "And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and seeketh how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" Here we see Naaman, a captain of the enemy guard, has been sent a letter by the king of Syria, and the king of Israel reads it, and he sees something wrong. If you're fighting in a battle, you usually don't try to help other people out and save their top commanders. It's usually not how war works. And at this point, the Syrians and the Israelites were not buddies. They were probably the furthest apart. And we see the king has rent his clothes, and he's in utter desperation on what to do. This could be a trap. If we do bring him and we can't heal him, what's going to happen? There's going to be a spy. There's going to be a war. But we see that in the king of all of his midst of troubles and all of his renting of clothes and all of his mournings of sorrow for trying to figure out what's going on, like our government right now, we see that somebody always listens, and that if there's always one person who is a prophet of God, they'll hear. And as long as there's one Bible-believing, grounded, firm preacher in the world, God's word will be furthered. And here we see Elisha come, and he hears from the king that he's rent his clothes, and he's had a letter from the king of Syria. And Elisha comes, and he agrees, "Let Naaman come. Bring him to my house." So Naaman, he gets all his gold, And he's got all his army. He's got his people with him. And he starts to make this journey to Samaria. Naaman was a great man. But Naaman had an even greater disease. That disease was sin. But we also have that same disease. Naaman recognized that with all of his power and with all his wealth, he could have been as proud as he wanted, but if he had not listened to the little girl and took her word for there being a prophet, he would have probably never been healed. But he listened to that little child, a maid, the lowest in the house. He listened to her. And we hear Naaman comes to Elisha's house. And I want you here, for the rest of the time that we have, I want to recognize the three mistakes, I guess you could say, that Naaman made when he came to Elisha's house. Here in verse number 5, I want to read first, please. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king. And he departed and took him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. First we see Naaman had already found out, he had already purposed in his heart that he was going to have to pay for this. And he knew that if somebody could heal you from leprosy, you were going to have to pay a pretty penny. So he brought all these nice clothes and all this gold and silver, and he came to Elisha's house. But he quickly realized that wasn't going to work. That the greatest gifts in this world are the free ones. Tonight, we can recognize that the greatest gift we can have is salvation. And we may not have leprosy or COVID or cancer or anything wrong with us, but tonight, we have something that could kill us faster and that could separate us from our Savior. And that's sin. And we can realize tonight that if we listen to that one word, that one small child, one message, one invitation, we can have our sins forgiven. And we see Naaman comes with all of his gold and all of his silver, and he's probably coming on all of his camels and his donkeys. And he comes to Naaman's house, and they let him off his camel. And he comes to the door. No answer. Hello. Welcome. And Naaman asks, Are you Elisha, the prophet of God? Can you imagine it? Naaman has come all this way. He sent a letter to the king. He's brought all his gold, his servants, and army. And he's come to be healed. And can you guess who greets him at the door? A servant of Elisha meets him there. Now, Naaman, being a great man of great honor, a warrior of the king of Syria, comes and he meets the lowest person in a house, a servant. Not even Elisha himself would come to the door. And King Elisha, like a lot of us, like me, became very wroth. And he went away in anger. Because you don't come to somebody important as a servant. In their times, the servants would never say anything. They would only listen to what their master would say. But Elisha wanted to teach Naaman a lesson on pride, on not everything can be bought, and that it's not in our way that we can be healed. Naaman knew that I'll bring gold, I'll bring my servants, I'll bring all this money, I'll see Elisha, and I'll tell him exactly how to heal me. But in our lives, we have to recognize that if we come to Jesus saying, okay, you can do it now, and you can have this part of me, but this here, no, I want this. We can give him our money, our gold, our time, but if we aren't following his will and his path, it's never going to work. And I know, coming through high school years, finally graduating, there was a lot of times that I had been following my own path. Even on the mission trips, there were some that I was like, I know God's called me, but I'm not really to give up. I'm not ready. There's friends, people I knew, things I wanted to do, money. But I knew in the end, at this end of this last Africa trip that we took, I recognized that, you know, like Naaman, there's a lot of pride and money and wealth that we could have to give up. And in the end, like Naaman, we get a better reward. Secondly, we see the wrong place. Naaman, first of all, he is a great and honorable man. We see he had a gentle maid who led him to the prophet Elisha. But Naaman made three mistakes. One of those being he thought he could buy his cure, which we see he could not. Secondly, we see he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. If he would have just come to Elisha first, can you imagine what would have happened? If he would have not even gone through the king, he would have been so much closer. And that's sometimes how we are. We think, Naaman probably thought, I'm important, so I'll send a letter and he'll just instantly take me to Elisha. He'll instantly know what to do for me. And that's sometimes how it is nowadays. In Tennessee, the Bible Belt, people have their own ways, what they think spirituality is. No, this, you have to look a certain way, you have to talk a certain way, and if you talk a different way, and you look a different way, then you can't be a part of us. And that's really how a lot of different religions have started. They took pieces that they liked and they changed it here and there. And Naaman thought it looked a different way. But Elisha, God's plan was exactly different. In 1 Timothy 2:5, we're going to read there. We see in 1 Timothy 2:5, we see that King Nahum, the servant of the army of Syria, comes, and he's finally recognizing that he can't go through the king. It's not Elisha. It's not all his money. It's not his pride. But in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We see Elisha is trying to show Naaman, your leprosy might be bad, but he's trying to show Naaman he's got a worse problem. And a lot of people today think that their internet, they have idols, their money, their cars, their wealth, their houses. And Naaman here had idols, his money, his pride. But there's only one way and one person who can heal us. And that way is here in the next part. Thirdly, I want to show you Naaman wanted to go his own way. Here, Naaman comes to the door. The servant of Elisha comes and he explains to Naaman, you were to go to dip 7 times in the river Jordan. And in verse 11 of 2 Kings 5:11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call out the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the two rivers here, Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. Here we see Naaman, he's getting pretty picky. Naaman, with his pride, comes. He meets the servant, and the servant says, you have to go dip in the Jordan River. And Nahum's like, there is no way I'm going to dip in that river. It'd be like going to Harrison Bay and dipping in one of their rivers. Naaman wanted the clean, fresh water, the nice waters in Damascus. But that wasn't God's plan. That was Naaman's plan. And in verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? His servant comes and explains, if the servant would have asked you to do any great thing, anything that would have put your plaque on the wall, you would have instantly done it. And Naaman's thinking, it's like, yeah, I would have. If you would have gone and led the army against an odd 100-1, would you have done it? Kind of see, he's trying to convince Naaman, hey, just try it. Just have some faith. How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? And Naaman, finally, after a wrong stop, all of his money here, being stopped by the servant, he finally stops and puts a little faith behind his actions. And he comes to the river, and he comes in, and he gets through three. And he looks at himself, and he can still see the boils and the burns and all the rash. And after three, you're getting pretty close. Can you imagine Naaman in one of the rivers of Israel, a captain to the king of Syria, a mighty leader, wealthy, and known for his battles, dipping in the river, not even a clean river. And Naaman dips seven times. And on the seventh, he was healed. Naaman comes out not just partially healed, not just half of him healed, but fully healed. And can you, when I think about it, Naaman, he was probably jumping for joy when he heard about Elisha. But then he got really mad about meeting the servant and then the rivers. But can you imagine how happy and rejoiceful he is now as he's coming out of the waters? He comes out, and he comes to Elisha, and he's trying to give Elisha all of these gifts and all of these offerings that he's brought because of what Elisha's done. And we can see that Naaman, he thought that his possessions could save him. He thought there was a certain place he would have to go to save him. And Naaman realized that it wasn't his way that could save him. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Naaman realized that he's going to have faith and believe and trust in that one God of Israel. To leave aside his pride, his money, his friends, his king, and go into a foreign nation who's your enemy and dip in the river. Oh, how embarrassing it must have been. But think about the reward he was given at the end. At the end here in verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused it. Here we see that God doesn't need our money, our rewards, our fame, our voice, our talents. God needs somebody who is willing to take the step and to go dip in the river seven times. He wants somebody who's going to leave aside all of his pride, his money, his wealth, his position in the kingdom, and say, Lord, if you want me to go dip in the river, I'll go dip in the river. Lord, if you want me to go to Africa or Brazil or Peru or Guatemala, I'll go. And we can see Naaman, in the end, comes out knowing that there is only one true God and being healed of all of his infirmities. And tonight, we can recognize the same way. If we put aside all of our pride, all of our will, all of what we think we're going to be doing, if we put it aside and just come simply and dip 7 times, it's even simpler for us. We don't even have to dip in the water 7 times. All we have to do is come and pray and believe and trust in Jesus, a simple prayer. And we can be healed, if not leprosy, but of our sin. Thank you.